and welcome to the 8th season of the WGTD Radio Theater and show number 58. Today we present 2/3. First, we're delighted to present the third installment of a series written by a special member of the WGTD 91.1 Players, founding member, actor, and director, Jim Blair. We're proud to present the latest adventures of that very British couple, the Brickersons, and the show Brotherly Love, written and directed by Jim Blair. Then we catch up with the gang at Boca del Rio, Phase 3, in the third episode of It's the Professor. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater and our own Cartoon Network comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan. But first, a special word from our co-executive producer, Stephen Brown.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our 58th broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theater. You know, over the past 8 years, we have always strived to bring our audiences, both here in our radio theater studios and those listening on WGTD HD, the highest quality programs. So it's always an added bonus when we are recognized by our peers in the broadcasting industry for the work that we do here at WGTD, and specifically for the WGTD Radio Theater. We have once again been recognized by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. We just received 2 first place awards for excellence in broadcasting, which were presented by the WBA at the May 5th Awards Banquet in Madison. These awards were for Best Original Feature for our entire 7th season of the live WGTD Radio Theater, which presented 8 original broadcasts of dramas, comedies, and variety and musicals. We also received a first place award for excellence in the category of Best Use of Audio Non-News for the live WGTD Radio Theater's 50th broadcast. Once again, those of us here at WGTD and all of us involved with the WGTD Radio Theater are honored to once again be recognized by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association for these 2 first-place awards for excellence in broadcasting. And just as an aside, our entire 7th season was dedicated to the memory of both Howard Brown and Terry Lawler. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm Steve Brown.
And now it's time for the Brickersons' Brotherly Love.
Algie?
Yes, dear?
Don't you think it's peculiar that all of Reginald's visits seem to coincide with our faculty reception?
Just a coincidence.
Oh, there's nothing like a coincidence with that dodgy brother of yours.
You know old Reg, always up to good time.
Well, he makes me nervous. He reminds me of a snake. One can never be sure what venom may spew from that mouth of his.
Unpredictability is part of Reggie's charm, Sybil. In fact, our entire family has always been rather unpredictable.
Since when?
Always.
You never cease to surprise me, Algie. You are the most predictable person I know.
That is only because we have been together these many wonderful years, Sybil, dear. which causes you to perceive me to be predictable. To the unsuspecting world outside, I'm an enigma, a mystery. In fact, I'm so cagey and mysterious, my colleagues often refer to me as Algy the Doppelganger.
Oh, bullocks, Algy. You can choose to believe whatever you please, but to me, you're a dopey-ganger. And as far as Reggie is concerned, he's the least mysterious and least charming individual I've ever had the displeasure of meeting.
I see your point, dear. However, many people find him quite charming and engaging.
Engaging or just engaged? How many times? Let me count the ways. He's been married 5 times, so that he must have been engaged 5 times. And didn't you tell me that he recently became engaged again? That will be 6, will it not?
Women are attracted to Reggie like a magnet.
A better analogy would be like a moth to a flame.
You will not have to worry about Reggie this visit, Sybil.
And why is that?
Because our Reggie will be escorting a woman to the faculty reception. He will not be attending with us.
Escorting fiancé number 6, I assume.
Not exactly,
dear. Not exactly? What are you trying to say, Algy?
He's escorting someone from the university community.
He doesn't know anyone in our community except us.
Apparently, he's made the acquaintance of Alice Quigley.
What? Isn't that Donald Quigley's wife?
The very same.
Oh, the very Donald Quigley, who is chairman of the Astronomy, Astrology, and Phrenology Department.
Yes, I believe you have properly identified him.
Oh, but how could Reggie possibly know Alice Quigley? And furthermore, why would Donald allow her to be escorted by anyone else?
I posed this very question to Reggie, my dear, and his response was that he and Alice Quigley struck up a lively conversation at last year's reception. Since they got along so well, Reggie rang her up when he arrived, and since Donald is away on expedition, Alice suggested that they might attend the reception together. Just as friends, of course.
Friends? The cheeky bugger doesn't have any friends, Algy. When is Donald returning, anyway? And what did you say he was excavating?
I have no idea when he's returning, but I do know he's digging for Neanderthal fossils.
Really? Well, I'm surprised that no one has directed him to Reggie.
Sybil, I'm absolutely shocked that you would refer to my only sibling, Reginald T. Brickerson III, in such a manner.
Well, you can be as shocked as you want, and please, Algernon B. Brickerson II. But this could become a very sticky business, a very sticky business indeed.
Try not looking at this as a date, Sybil, but as two old friends keeping each other company.
Old friends? That is a bloody exaggeration. If Alex Quigley all knew that Reggie had been married 5 times and was planning his 6th, do you think she would allow herself to be seen with him?
You do have a point, my dear.
Well, of course I have a point. The man is unhinged. He's a con artist, a philanderer, an all-round scoundrel, an artless dodger. And those are his good points.
Shh!
Don't you shush me, Algernon Brickerson.
Reggie's returning.
Returning from where?
The WC.
We should lock him up in there. Well, and don't forget to tell him about you know what.
Tell him what?
Well, tell him he cannot take Alice Quigley to the reception.
Hello, old chap. Oh, hello, old girl.
Please do not refer to me as an old girl, Reginald. I find that to be offensive, insensitive, rude, and a total fabrication.
Oh, sorry, old girl. Oops.
You are hopeless, Reggie.
I can take a hint.
Since when?
Will you two please calm down?
Well, fine. I'm settling down. Can I ask you a question, Reggie?
Absolutely, Sib.
I also prefer not to be called Sib. In the future, just refer to me as Sybil. Thank you.
Oh, yes, of course, Sib. I mean Sybil. Hard to break these habits, old...
Sybil, this may not be the appropriate time.
Please shut up for once, Algy.
Yes, dear.
I have a question. Reggie, I have a question.
Fire away, old girl. Oops. I'm all ears, Sib. Oops, did it again. I can't help to... seem to help myself, old... Oh, never mind.
Are you and Alice Quigley involved in a relationship?
My word, Sybil, I hardly know the woman. However, as I vaguely recall, she is rather attractive.
As you recall, aren't the two of you planning to attend the faculty reception together?
I cannot deny that, Sybil. Your assertion has some veracity.
Some veracity? Really, Reginald? Do you realize that Alice Quigley is a married woman?
My word, Sybil. That is news to me.
You have the unmitigated gall to stand in front of me and claim that you are unaware of that?
I just don't recall it ever being mentioned.
Well, is Alice Quigley aware that you are engaged to be married for the sixth time?
That usually is not a topic of conversation with someone I barely know.
Reginald, where is your fiancée at this moment?
Muffin?
Whatever her name is.
Muffin happens to be on holiday, visiting her parents in Transylvania.
Perhaps I'll put up a pot of tea, dear?
Oh, please, sit down, Algy. I don't need a pot of tea. I need a pot of scotch. Reggie?
Yes?
Algy and I would like you to come to the reception with us. Sort of like family.
Yes, Reggie, like family.
You really expect me to call Alice and cancel at the last minute?
Yes.
Well, I would never do anything like that to a woman, especially to Alice Quigley. Do you realize what that would do to my reputation in this town?
Reputation? You have no reputation in this town, Reggie. You only know three people, and two of them are standing in front of you. It's our reputation I'm concerned about, not yours.
Sybil does have a point, old man.
Well, I'm going to my room to think about it.
Oh, good show, old man. That does sound good, doesn't it, Sybil? Reg is going to think about it.
With what?
Don't you think that was a jolly good reception, Sybil?
It was well attended.
Did you happen to notice Alice Quigley and Reggie about?
Fortunately not. And that was what made the evening so pleasant.
Well, that is very strange.
Well, they must have been there. Most probably they were slinking about in some dark corner, engaging in God knows what.
Oh, really, Sybil? That is a bit over the top. I would not call either one of them a slinker.
Oh, so right, my dear. Reggie is more like a stinker.
Well, it's not like Reggie to go off and hide in a corner. He likes to be the center of attention, but it was strange that we never even caught a glimpse of the two of them.
Well, I can't imagine what was on Alice's mind allowing herself to be seen in public with such a man. At a faculty reception, no less. You know, Algy, people will talk.
How now, Sybil? Let's not be hypercritical about an innocent encounter. What's important is that we had a jolly good time. I'll run to the back room and check on old Reg.
Well, an excellent idea, Algy. And while you're there, you might want to ask him when he intends to leave. I'm going to go turn on old-time radio.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings visit...
My word, Sybil, he's not there. After knocking and not hearing anything, I peeked in his room and guess what?
What?
The room was virtually empty. All of Reggie's belongings were gone. His suitcase, his jacket, his toiletries. It's as if he were never here.
Oh, I wish that were true. Maybe he just vanished, evaporated. Disintegrated or
what?
Or he was abducted by aliens.
It's a little worrisome that he'd leave without so much as an explanation.
Well, I hope he left some money for the meals and maid service.
That won't be very amusing, Sybil, if he's actually been kidnapped.
Criminals do not kidnap individuals who have no means of support. And his closest relatives are professors.
I've got it! Someone stole his identity.
But instead they stole him? No one in his right mind would want to steal Reggie's identity because he has no identity. Oh, will you pick up the mobile, Algy?
It might be old Reg.
Pick up and you will find out.
Hello, Reg. Who? Yes, I'm Algernon Brickerson. What? Really? Oh, my word, when did you return? Oh, just yesterday. Discover any Neanderthals looking about? Oh, good show, old man.
Who is it, LJ?
Excuse me, my wife is shouting in the background. It's Donald Quigley, dear, just back from Transylvania.
What does he want?
If you would stop talking, maybe I'd be able to find out. Sorry, old man. You were saying? My word. Are you sure? She left a note?
What's going on?
Please be quiet, Sybil. But he's engaged. Yes, I know she's your wife. Yes, well, he must be a member of someone's family. Yes, that is a possibility. Officially, he's a half-brother. But no one's sure which half. Certainly not my half. I hardly know the man. Yes, I agree. He probably is a half-wit. I'm very sorry, old man. Kidnapped? Really? Yes, I definitely understand. The police? Do you really think that's necessary? Of course I want to find out all the details. Of course I care about your wife. Harboring a criminal? Now, just a minute, old man. Hello? Hello? Are you still there?
What in God's name was all that all about?
He hung up on me.
Well, what did you say to him?
Well, I mostly listened. You better sit down, Sybil. Would you like a drink?
Well, I have my scotch, LG.
Maybe you would like something a little stronger, like a bottle of Xanax.
My word, LG. Xanax? Since when do I take drugs?
You might begin when you hear this.
Stop your prattling and tell me.
It's difficult to put this in a positive light.
What are you talking about?
Apparently, Reggie and Alice Quigley have run off together. Flown the coop, left town for places unknown.
What? My reputation will be ruined in this town.
Again?
Again? What in God's name are you talking about?
Oh, I was just thinking about that incident at the market last year when you slapped Mrs. Weatherworm for stepping in front of you in the checkout queue.
Oh, that. Everyone knows that woman is delusional. She deserved it.
Yes, dear, perhaps. But what I'm worried about is my reputation. I have an unblemished record in this community.
Not anymore, you don't.
Since you have experience in this type of situation, maybe you would advise me on what I should do next.
Perhaps you should also leave town.
Sybil, let's be serious here. Let's carefully think this through.
Through what?
Through to some kind of resolution. For instance, why would anyone blame us?
Oh, us, LG? They won't blame us. They will blame you. After all, he's your brother, not mine.
I guess it would look suspicious if we disowned him.
You can't disown your brother.
A half-brother.
Since when?
Since 10 minutes ago.
Well, we do need some plan, because I certainly do not want to be smeared with the same brush as you.
I think I've got it. No one knows he was spending holiday with us. Only you and I know that. And of course, Alice Quigley, we'll claim that he was never here. After all, he just arrived and hadn't left the house until he absconded with Donald's wife.
I refuse to lie.
Since when?
Since 10 minutes ago.
If it is at all possible, Sybil, when and if the authorities question you, I suggest for once that you keep your big mouth shut.
I cannot believe you're talking to me like this, Algy. It's just not you at all.
This is serious business. And this is the new me.
I cannot promise to keep my so-called big mouth shut, Algy.
Do you want to be in charged with aiding and abetting a possible criminal?
Me?
Don't forget, my dear, this is our house.
Are you trying to blackmail me, Algy?
If there is an investigation, just pretend you're a politician or a Wall Street financier. Cover up and lie. That will be the new us.
I believe that I cannot believe that you have sunk to this level, Algernon Brickerson.
Good point, my dear. But remember, we are in America, where the concept of how low can you go is apparently bottomless. Besides, I'm just too damn brilliant and savvy to be apprehended by the law.
Oh, bullocks, Algy.
Just think, Sybil. This could be a new beginning for the two of us, an exciting journey, an opportunity to escape our humdrum academic existence and leap into the dark, deep world of private investigation and criminal justice.
Are you going off your rocker, Algy? Shall I call the doctor?
Doctor, I don't need a doctor. I need a new life. I'll team up with that famous femme fatale detective, Rebecca Diamond. I've read all her books.
I've never heard of her. Perhaps you mean that porn star, Sally Diamond.
I can see it now. Brickerson and Diamond. Or Diamond and Brickerson. Which sounds better, Sybil?
Well, what sounds better is Brickerson and Madoff. Because whatever scheme is percolating in that tiny cerebral cortex of yours, your final destination will be the slammer. This is an idea you are sure to cock up, Algernon Brickerson.
Well, we'll just see about that. You know, Sybil, I like the sound of that word, slammer. Yes, I do. But I have a better sounding word, hammer. It will become my nom de plume, my pseudonym, A. Brickerson, the detective, a.k.a. the hammer. Tough guy, striking down crime where it hurts.
Well, I fear it sounds more like a gong. I suggest that you lie down and get some rest, Algy. I'll put a cold compress on your head. Perhaps it will control your delirium. Ew, I wonder who that could be.
Who's there?
Quiet, Algy. It sounds like the police.
The police? Already?
Well, I guess Donald Quigley did not waste any time.
I've got an idea.
Really?
We'll get into bed and pretend we've been asleep for hours. After all, it's 1 a.m.?
With our clothes on? That's ridiculous.
They'll never suspect we're that stupid, Sybil. Deception is the operative word here.
Anyone home?
No!
Oh, quiet! Quiet, Algy! They'll hear you. Remember, we're supposed to be sleeping. Get into bed. Hurry, hurry, turn the lights off.
I'm looking for my Tempur-Pedic pillow.
I'll give you a Tempur-Pedic in the head if you don't turn off the bloody light and hop into this bed this very minute.
Well, whatever you say, dear.
And make sure you close your eyes, Mr. Master of Deception.
They're closed. How about a goodnight kiss?
Tonight? Are you really losing it, Algy?
You know I can't fall asleep without a goodnight kiss.
You don't have to fall asleep. We're just pretending.
Oh, quite right, my dear. Good night, Sybil.
Well, good night, Mr. Hammer, wherever you are.
That was Jim Blair's The Brickersons' Brotherly Love, starring John Oleksy as Algernon, Carolyn Recker as Sybil, and Gary Stamm as Reggie. Our director was Jim Blair. Special effects were created by Barb Tyler. And now, it's the professor.
Hey, it's the professor.
What are you talking about?
It's the professor.
Where?
Over there, going into the restaurant.
That's not Leland. He's in England.
England?
Yes, England. I told you that. He had to go to England to present some kind of paper.
He couldn't present it here?
I don't know. All I know is he's over in England presenting some paper on Chaucer.
Saucers?
No, Chaucer.
We're here. Oh, you know, I just love going out to brunch, and this place is great. They have great food. In fact, I took Leland here a couple of weeks ago. Can you believe he had no idea what a hoppa-poppa omelet was? I asked him, I said, Leland, how can someone not know what hoppa-poppa is? He said something about Milwaukee not being the most kosher of cities. I don't know. I suppose we can't be everywhere.
Okay, Estelle, get out. I'm hungry.
You may be hungry, but I have to maneuver over this hump back here. Why is it that the woman always gets the hump?
Because your legs are shorter.
I'll have you know, I have very long legs for a woman of my height.
If those legs were any shorter, you could be a citizen of Munchkinland.
Again, with the mouth.
Okay, you two, let's get into the restaurant and get a table. Looks crowded.
Please, Mona, you're going to fall out of that dress.
Oh, I am not. What has gotten into you today? I think you need new glasses. First you're seeing people that aren't there, and then you think I'm walking around naked.
His eyes aren't that bad. She could have at least worn a bra.
What?
Nothing. Just give me your arms. My arches hurt. They're killing me.
A table for five.
Coffee, anyone?
Oh, we can't stay at this table. How about that one over there? Is that one taken? I'd prefer that one to this one. This one's in the sun, and that glare will only make my cataracts worse, and it'll be too hot for me. Not that I have hot flashes anymore. But who wants the schwitz while eating? This is fine. Everyone, is this fine?
Yeah, sure, it's fine. I just want to sit. I don't care where.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's order. I'm hungry.
Are you ready to order?
Order? We just sat down. Bring us some coffee. We'll look at the menu.
Sanka for me.
Sanka?
Yes, Sanka.
What's that?
What's that? It's coffee without caffeine.
Yeah, I mean like decaf?
No, I mean like Sanka. Ask your manager what it is. What is it these days that they can't hire decent waitresses? She didn't know what Sanka was. How are they training these kids today?
I know what you mean. We were at the Early Bird the other day.
Where did you go?
The Blue Crab.
How was it?
Okay. For $6.95 an entree, it was gourmet. But the waiter there could barely speak English and had a problem with me making some lemonade.
You had to make your own lemonade.
No, no. I asked for extra lemon for my water and then put sweet and low into it.
And he had a problem with that.
Yeah, can you believe it? They charge you $6.95 for lousy chicken and then they want you to die of thirst.
Are you ready?
Is the corned beef lean? The last time I had the corned beef here, it had so much fat it could choke a horse. Well, not really choke a horse, but you know what I mean. Horses don't eat corned beef, but if they did, they would have choked on that corned beef. We're all trying to eat healthy these days. Besides, we're all senior citizens, supposed to be watching our diet. And then I get this fatty corned beef. My system just can't handle that kind of food anymore. Do you know how much red wine it takes to dissolve that much fat? Plenty.
It's real lean.
Let me keep looking.
Anyone else ready?
Is the salami diced or sliced?
You mean like in a sandwich?
Like in a sandwich? No, like in an omelet.
Oh, that. It's sliced.
Sliced? I don't like sliced salami in my omelet. I want diced.
We don't have diced.
Let me keep looking.
Listen, I'll come back when you're ready to order.
She was sort of snippy.
I know. All we were doing was asking questions. What's wrong with that?
Anyone ever had the Hopple Popple here?
I did. It was good.
Good schmud. You had gas the rest of the day.
I only have gas when I eat your food.
If you chew your food, you wouldn't have gas.
Right. Now I'm not chewing. Just I swallowed chicken whole. Marty, get the Hopple Popple while you still can.
While you still can? What, are you dying now?
From your mouth.
Oh, stop with the talking and figure out what you're going to order before the waitress comes back.
You know, I really had a taste for good corned beef, but after that last time, I'm just not so sure.
Have the Nova Salmon. It's good.
Oh, Morty, you always know what I like.
So, did you hear?
Hear what?
You guys ready yet?
Guys? Guys? I'm not a guy.
Whatever. So, do you know what you want yet?
Is the corned beef sliced or in chunks?
Chunks? You mean like diced?
No, I mean like chunks. We're not talking salami here.
I'll have to check. Anyone ready to order?
I'll have the Hopple Popple omelet.
Grits or hash browns?
Do I sound like I eat grits? Hash browns!
Whole wheat, white, rye.
Does the rye have seeds?
No.
No seeds? That's not rye. Make it white.
Anyone else?
I'll have the Nova Salmon bacon.
What kind of bagel?
Onion bagel.
Oh, great. Onion. Another afternoon in the bathroom.
At least it's quiet in there.
Not necessarily.
You want that toasted?
What, the bagel?
Yeah.
Yeah, toast it up a bit.
Tomato and onion.
Yeah.
Ma'am, who you decided?
I'll risk the corned beef sandwich.
A sandwich for breakfast?
It's brunch, not breakfast.
Chips or fries with that?
You have fruit.
It's a dollar more.
A dollar? What? You put fruit in a glass of water for free, but you charge a dollar to put it on a plate?
Sorry, those are the rules.
Rules, schmules. You tell the manager that Chutzie wants fruit.
Ma'am?
I'll have the salami omelet.
The salami slice.
I know. Not that I wanted it, but I'll put up with it.
Grits or hash browns?
Fruit. And I won't pay the dollar for that garnish you put on there.
Well, I'll have to check with the manager.
Then check with the manager.
Whole wheat, white rye.
White. And make it dry. I don't want that the yellow grease you put on the toast.
Ma'am.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal? In a restaurant? You could make that at home.
I could make everything at home.
You could make everything at home if it came in a bag dinner.
Enough with the bag dinners. They're convenient. I'll have the oatmeal with the brown sugar and blueberries. And bring me some lemon for my water.
I'll be right back with more coffee.
And check on their fruit.
What are you doing with more lemon?
I want to have some lemonade.
Order orange juice.
Why should I pay for orange juice when the lemon is free?
You try to save a buck on juice, but you order oatmeal in a restaurant?
I'll save a buck where I want.
So, what did you hear?
Hear about what?
You asked us if we heard about something before the waitress came over.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about Mindy and Nate?
Mindy and Nate?
Yeah, Mindy and Nate.
No. What happened?
She left.
She left?
Yeah, she left.
Mindy left Nate?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know.
Why did she leave?
I don't know. They went on a cruise.
A cruise?
Yeah, a cruise out of Fort Lauderdale.
What kind of a cruise?
A princess cruise.
Mmm.
Where was the cruise going?
I don't know.
What do you know?
I know. Mindy left Nate after the cruise. They get back to Boca del Rio. The moving van comes, and all of a sudden, her stuff is taken out. I mean, all of her stuff. The only thing she left was the Baca lounger, a TV tray, and an old black and white television with rabbit ears that was stuck in some closet.
Where did she go?
To her daughter's in Dallas.
Dallas? Oy, I hate Dallas. Hot, humid, and did I say hot? My third husband, Arnie, God rest his soul, had us living there for a while. Arnie is the husband that bought me the Cadillac. Oh, I love that car. But then I always liked Pot of Blue, didn't care what it was. Never quite knew why we were there, but there we were, Dallas, Texas. It was always hot, humid. The backyard full of fire ants, which would eat you alive and leave your bones for the dogs. Well, not my dogs. They love me dearly. But you know what I mean. And those tornado sirens always going off. And there I was in Dallas. Arnie was always off somewhere. I never knew where, but a wife doesn't ask questions of a husband as long as he's taking care of you, buying you Cadillacs, you know what I mean? Of course you know what I mean. So, Mindy is in Dallas?
In Dallas. Lock, stock, and barrel.
She left him? Why didn't she kick him out? I mean, that was a nice condo they had. If he was seeing someone else, he should have left. She shouldn't have left. She should have kicked him out.
Was he seeing someone else?
I don't know that. All I know is Mindy left Nate. Besides, what woman would want a man as old as Nate?
Hey, I'm Nate's age.
Oh, you don't count.
Oh, now I don't count. I have to pay for your oatmeal that you could make at home, but now I don't count.
And they were married for so long?
You just never know about people.
Oh, I wonder what happened in Fort Lauderdale on that princess cruise.
Who had the Nova?
I did.
The Hopple Popper.
That's me.
The sandwich.
Right here.
Salami omelet.
Yeah.
Oatmeal.
That's me.
Miss.
Yeah.
What's this?
What's what?
This?
Huh?
This piece of diced salami?
Yeah. So?
Well, you said you didn't have diced. I see a piece of diced salami. Why is there a piece of diced salami when you said you didn't have any?
It must just be a small, thick slice.
Did you charge me for the fruit?
No. The manager said you could substitute fruit for the potatoes, Mrs. Katzenberg.
That's what I thought.
Mine too? Yeah.
And I'm still waiting on that lemon.
You know, this table is uneven. I didn't notice it before, but one leg is shorter than the other. Morty, give me a matchbook.
They don't have matchbooks anymore.
Then give me a pack of sugar.
Yeah.
There. No, it's still wobbling. Morty, another sugar.
Yeah.
There. Is that better?
Yeah, Chootsie, it's fine.
Morty, eat your eggs. They're getting cold. Well, that corned beef sandwich wasn't bad. Not as fatty as the last time. It wasn't lean, but it wasn't fatty. So, Morty, how was the Hopper Popple?
Great. Everything was right.
What'd I tell you? Mona, you get about ready to go. I want to go home.
No, I'm enjoying my lemonade.
Well, enjoy it fast. I want to go back to the condo. Miss? Catch the waitress. Miss?
Hey, miss.
Yeah?
Bring the check.
Yeah.
So, what do we have here?
And don't forget, I paid for the gas. And at 676... Excuse me, at $3.67 a gallon feels like six. Now that's not free.
Yeah, you paid for the gas, Chootsie. We were, 5 miles away from home. So, that's about $1 we owe you.
The IRS is reimbursing at 54 cents a mile.
Okay, make it $2.70.
Yeah, good thing you married an accountant.
I could have done worse.
Okay. I added the $2.70 to the bill and then divided that by the five of us and added that amount to each of what we ordered.
How much for the tip?
15%.
15%? Make it 13. Send her a message. Her attitude was not good. Not good at all.
And don't figure the tip on the tax.
Okay. Okay, here's what you each owe. I assume, Morty, you're paying for Estelle.
Since the day we were married.
Okay, here goes. And let's all pay Chootsie. That way she gets the gas money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that, Chootsie?
Yeah, that's fine. Just make sure your math is right.
It's right. Okay, I owe $21.53. Morty, $21.34. The tip is $5.69.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah, well, let me count. Yeah, that's right.
Morty, give me your arm. My arches are killing me.
Still?
Yeah, still.
And I'll take the hump this time.
Thanks, hon. Mwah.
That was the third episode of It's the Professor. Keep up with the gang at Boca del Rio, Phase 3, next time on Saturday, July 21st. And the stars of It's the Professor were John Alexi as Irving Greenberg, Kathy Zolke as Mona Greenberg, Naomi Wiseman-Zobler as Estelle Edelstein, Morty Edelstein was Cameron Spencer. Chootsie Katzenberg, played by Vicky Dumay. And the waitress was Carolyn Recker. Special sound effects were created by Barb Tyler. Our show today was directed by Mike Ulstrup. It's the Professor was written by Steve Brown and Mike Ulstrup. Our production assistant today was Andrew Potter. Our sound engineer was Bob Newman. And today's announcer was yours truly, Don Jensen. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater and our own Cartoon Network comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan. And join us on Saturday, July 21st, for the next edition of the WGTD Radio Theater and the new Jack Benny Show. And, of course, the next episode of It's the Professor. So for the WGT Radio Theater, this is Don Jensen signing off, saying, have a great day.